been doing, and we've been teaching on a series called the I Am series out of the book of John. How many know several times in the book of John, some people say 7 times, some people say 8 times, some people say 10 times, that Jesus makes a statement and says, I am. And so I'm a firm believer if Jesus is speaking or saying something, we need to pay attention to what he's saying. We need to find out what it is that he wants us to get out of that lesson or out of that message. Amen. And really what I really think Jesus is telling us and what the author of the book of John is trying to tell us, that Jesus is the all-sufficient one. He is the I am that I am. He is the God. He is the expression of the Father. Amen. He is the Son in the flesh. He come in the demonstration and power of the Father. But when he began to say to all of those that were under the sound of his voice, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And he began to say all those things, and he would begin to say why he was and what that really means to understand that Jesus really is the bread of the world. Hallelujah. He's the bread which came down from heaven. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. I am the true bread. How many know there was a temporary bread in the wilderness, but Jesus came along to say, I am the true bread. He who eats of me shall live and not die. Hallelujah. And he came along and said, I am the light of the world. In the old covenant, in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, there was a light, there was a menorah, there was a candlestick that was in the holy place. Hallelujah. There was a temporary glory called the Shekinah glory, and there was the light of the world. But Jesus came along and said, I am the light of the world. I am the one that brings illumination into your life, that people that will follow after me will walk in the light and not walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Anybody know anybody that's walking in some darkness today? Amen. That needs to have the light of life of Jesus, hallelujah, shown to them. How many know we all need the light? We need his light illuminating from us. How many know we also are a light of the world to bring light into a dark place? Hallelujah. He says, I am the door. And we talked about that. And we did a demonstration. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. How many know Jesus, through the veil of his flesh being rent? The scripture says that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. So was the veil of his body was rent for us, that we now have access to the Father. Hallelujah. How many know that's good news to me? Because no longer do we have to run away or shy away from a most holy place or a God that we think might be angry with us. But how many know the scripture says in Hebrews that we can come boldly before the throne of God and receive what? Grace and mercy. Hallelujah. That we now have access to the Father. That when Jesus came, we did no longer have to go through Moses. We did no longer have to go through the high priest. We didn't have to wait once a year for the atonement of our sins. But now that we have direct access to the Father through Jesus, through the work of the person of the cross of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so he gave us the demonstration of the door, and we did the demonstration up here where all of the sheep got on stage. Well, some of the sheep got on stage, I'll say that. Some of the sheep got on stage, and then Caleb laid down in front of the entrance of the sheepfold. And the shepherd would literally, when he would get the sheep into the sheepfold, he would lay across the opening of the door. He would lay down, and he literally would become the door of the sheepfold. And he would block the entrance into the sheepfold so that anything that came into the sheepfold, I love this, anything that was going to pass into the sheep, that was going to get through the sheep, whether it was wolves or the bear or the lion or pestilence or thieves or robbers, anything that was going to try to get into the sheep by means of the sheepfold, he said, you're going to have to pass through me first. Hallelujah. And I love that. How many know he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I laid down my life for my sheep. And he literally gave us the picture of a shepherd laying his life down or laying his body down to become the door to the access to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Hallelujah. And we talked about the importance of the shepherd. How many know when God begins to speak, the very first I am that we know of in the scripture, when he begins to speak to Moses, and Moses said, well, God, when I get down to Egypt and I start to tell them all this stuff you're telling me, who can I say sent me down here? Because those people that I came out of in Egypt, they don't know the God that I know. They don't know the God that I serve. And when I get down there, who am I going to say sent me? He said, Moses, you just say I am that I am. Hallelujah. And how many know Moses was keeping sheep on the backside of the desert when God began to speak to him? And we know Jesus is a descendant of he's called the Son of David, one of the greatest shepherds in the scripture. Hallelujah. And writes the psalm that we love so much, Psalms 23, where he begins to talk about how the shepherd cares for the sheep. What a powerful scripture that is. And I don't have time to go into all that today. It's on the CDs. Some of the CDs have it, so they're available to you. But I don't want to go through all of that today. But he says, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. He says, I am the true vine. We talked about being connected, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and everything, all of our supply comes from the vine, and everything that flows out of us flows from that central vine. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about resurrection life. Resurrection and life. In John chapter 11, he says, I am resurrection and I am life. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Hallelujah. How many wanted to hear about some resurrection life this morning? Hallelujah. When I got the call from Wilda that Wilda wasn't feeling well the other day and they had taken her on to the hospital, that the very first thing that comes to my mind is our scripture. And I said, Lord, she's got resurrection life living in her. Because the scripture declares, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what? Dwells in where? In you. What will it do? It will quicken or make alive your mortal body. I want you to know this morning, you have resurrection life in you. The scripture says, since or if. One translation says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. Another translation says, since that same spirit. How many know you got to know that same spirit dwells in you today? Anybody in this house got some resurrection life in them today? Hallelujah. If the Spirit of Almighty God dwells in you, you have resurrection life in you. Now, here's what happens sometimes. I forget. I don't have a bad memory. I have a good forgetter. Anybody ever forget? Me and Wilda, a couple of you. Thank you for being honest. Sometimes, I got to be real honest with you today. Sometimes I forget I got resurrection life in me. Because sometimes I get caught off guard by things and they start to weigh on my mind, or they start to make me think things that I don't want to think, and all of a sudden that quickening spirit inside of me has got to start talking to me, and I realize, no, wait a minute, I got resurrection life living inside of me. Your word declares that if it lives inside of me, that it can quicken and make alive this human being, this mortal body, and bring life where there is no life. Anybody ever walked around in darkness or death before? See, you don't have to be in a grave to be walking around dead. You don't have to be in the night to be walking around in darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, I posted on my Facebook page this week, I'm putting my click clacks on. And you guys know what I'm talking about if you were here for that sermon when I talked about, how many know the scripture talks about he will turn our mourning into dancing. How many know some days you got to get up and put on your dancing shoes? You got to remember, he said that you can speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm going to tell you though, nothing will bring you out of your despair like praise and worship. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to get in the car by yourself if you need to and turn on the praise and worship and sing like a crazy man if you got to until you get yourself out of your despair or where you're at. Get on the lawnmower where nobody cares if you are carrying a tune in a bucket and let her fly if you got to do it. But sometimes you got to praise your way out of some things. Amen. There's times I got to remind myself, no, wait a minute, I got resurrection life in me. Hallelujah. That same spirit, that same powerful spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Hallelujah. I want to go real quick to the Romans. Bring up the Romans scripture for me. I'm going to read it. Then I'm going to take you to John 11. And I'm going to try to go through this quickly. And the more I study these things, the more I find in there. And the more it slows me down trying to get to my punchline. But I'll try to hit it and go this morning. But what I have found out in this series, I've enjoyed it if you guys haven't. What I have found out is there's way more than I realized was in there. Because we could break down every aspect of John 11 today and be here for weeks to understand the concepts of what really Jesus is saying in all of this. But I want to hit some highlights and go this morning. This is out of the Message, correct? With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. I'm reading even out of Romans 8 and out of the Message Bible. A new power is in operation. Listen to this. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny under the hands of sin and death. Now, that's powerful to me. A strong wind has blown through. Let me tell you, that strong wind showed up on the day of Pentecost in an upper room, and there was a mighty wind. It said it blew into the house like a mighty rushing wind, and when it did, it filled the house. How many know sometimes we got to let that wind blow through our lives and fill our house? Hallelujah. God went for the jugular when he set his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition. Listen to this. Entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, we're talking about the old covenant, old testament, old order under the Mosaic system of the law. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. How many know under the old covenant, under the sacrifice of lambs and bullocks and doves, it could cover your sin, but it could not remove your sin. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit, that resurrection life, is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self and these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, or since God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in, he dwells. Even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the all and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you. What? I didn't write that. That's what the word says. He'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you what? Alive to himself, resurrection life. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. Exclamation mark. As my kids in class would say, an excited mark. Don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new resurrected life. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, I love that, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know, I think this is the last verse, right, Brooke? Amber, sorry. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable, are you ready for this? An unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Hallelujah. How many are ready for an unbelievable inheritance? And I don't believe that inheritance has to wait till some glad morning. I believe we can live in resurrection life right here and right now. Amen? Hallelujah. I am tired of people around me, people that I love, living in death and doom and despair. Hallelujah. I want to be a dispenser of life. I want to be an exporter of life. I want to bring life into situations, not be sucked into situations that cause death in me. I want resurrection life to rise up out of me and not only bring me into peace, but bring everybody that I love into peace. Amen. Are you ready for resurrection life today? Hallelujah. So Jesus goes over into John 11. Go ahead and bring that up for me. We're going to talk about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of reading there, so give me some space to read, and then we're going to go. Okay. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. I mean, she's got some understanding of who Jesus is. She spent some time with Jesus, okay? Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciple, let us go into Judea again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. How many know Jesus already said, I am the light? These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Hallelujah. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hold there for just a minute, Amber. He says to them, Lazarus is dead. And I want to talk about some personality profiles this morning. I want to talk about Mary. I want to talk about Martha. And I want to talk about Lazarus. How many know they were real people in a real story, and they were dealing with some real issues? Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. They were dealing with some literal, physical things that were going on that was happening. But I also want you to look at it this morning a little bit as a picture as we look at the people in this story. I want you to think about Mary and Martha as being a picture of the church, the woman or of the church, and Lazarus being a picture of man, but a man who is dead and wrapped up and behind the stone, as it were. Hallelujah. How many know the scripture says that when Adam was tempted in the garden, that he said, with the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to die. How many know when Adam ate of the tree in the garden, there was a death that took place in him? And for 2,000 years, for thousands of years before the coming of Jesus, how many know man had lived in a fallen state? He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. And so how many know this is not just a picture of Lazarus, it's also a picture of fallen man. And the sentence that was pronounced upon us was death. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And so when they're saying, Lord, we need to go to him, and he said that the gifts and the workings of God might be made manifest. And how many know Jesus tarries another 2 days after he hears from Mary and Martha, and he's 4 days by the time Jesus gets there. Everybody say 4 days. Jesus says to them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. I mean, sometimes that's our mentality. We'll just go die with him. Somebody in that group should have said, hey, Jesus, let's just take him some resurrection life. Man, I've already seen you open the eyes of the blind. I've already seen you heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Let's just take him some resurrection life. But how many know sometime in view of the information that we get, we start thinking, well, if he's dead, then it must be that way. And we start accepting that report. You understand what I'm saying? They come to him and said, Lord, he's really sick. And Jesus said to them, he's dying. So Thomas says, well, let's just go die with him. Somewhere along the line, somebody got to say, hey, Jesus, do you have a little bit of resurrection life in you? My friend Lazarus needs a healing. He needs hope. He needs help. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says to them, verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary, to Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. Jesus begins to speak to her. She comes to in a posture to Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd been here, things wouldn't have fallen apart. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. Lord, he loved you. Lord, I sent word to you. Hallelujah. How many know she come to him in a state of despair? But we have two personality profiles here. We have Mary. And you remember the scripture where Mary and Martha are in the house and Jesus is in the house. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha is cumbered about with much serving and much working. And she's a little bit frustrated. She said, you know, I'm doing all the work here and Mary's doing all the sitting and all the learning. How many know we need both personalities here? We got one who's all word and no action. And we have one who's all action and no word. You understand what I'm saying? See, we can sit here every Sunday and we can hear the gospel and we can hear the revelation of the word and we can understand and have the greatest knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. But if we never put to use what we know, what we've heard, and what we learn, we're not going to change creation. We're not going to bring resurrection life. Or we can be on the side that we're all about business. We're working. We're doing. We got our works in order. And we're ministering here and we're going there. But we don't know why we're doing it. And we're not doing it out of a power of the word behind us because we don't know that the word says we have access to it. See, if you don't know you got resurrection life in you, you're not going to work. You're not going to operate out of that. If you don't know that you have an inheritance, you're not going to cash the check. If you don't know why we do what we do, how many know we need a balance of the word and the works? We need both sides of that. And remember, we're talking about then the women of being a part of the church. You can have all works, no word, and be exhausted, frustrated, and weary. And what happens is you'll start to blame God for things. Amen? And not that kind of the personality you see of Martha. Mary said at his feet, rubbed his feet with oil. She had all the word, but not the works or the actions. Don't get stuck sitting in the house. This time he's at the tomb of the fallen. See, before he was in a house, they knew what to expect. But how many know Jesus didn't always show up in the synagogue? He didn't always show up in the temple. Sometimes he showed up at the publican's house. Sometimes he showed up with the outcast. Sometimes he showed up at a tomb. Sometimes he spit in the mud. Sometimes, because every time you think you got Jesus put in a box and you know how he's going to operate, because last time he spoke the word and the healing come, you know what he does next time? He spits in the mud and says, rub this on your eyes. Or he says, your sins are forgiven. They said, why'd you say that? Why didn't you say, you know, rise and be healed? How many know he did not formulate what he did? It wasn't in a package where we can go 5 steps to healing and 6 steps to salvation and all of those kind of things. Because if we could, that's what we would do in the church. We would formulate it and said, unless you look this way, you talk that way, and unless you glow in the dark, it's not going to work for you. But here's what I know, that Jesus was not a respecter person. Hallelujah. And he comes to them and they're in despair and they're upset. And they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Lazarus is a picture of a fallen man, dead behind the law of sin and death. By one man, death entered. By one man, we now have resurrection life. Hallelujah. Without reading all the scripture for time's sake, and we might get there in a minute. Hallelujah. Jesus begins to talk to them and he says, and Martha's got some sense of belief about her. He said, Lord, I know that there's a resurrection. I know there's a resurrection yet to come. Hallelujah. But I need it right here, right now, where I am right now. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes we've been so guilty of waiting for everything in a day to come that we're still waiting on that day to come and we forget to go ahead and step out of the boat that we're in right now. See, what Peter could have said is, you know, I know one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk on water. But how many know Jesus said to him in the midst of his life, right here, right now, in one of the greatest storms he'd ever experienced, he said, Peter, go ahead and come. Come to me right now. See, sometimes it's the bidding of the Lord that'll cause you to step out of the boat of comfort that you're in and go ahead and walk on some water, because I didn't know it when I got up today, but tonight when Peter goes to bed, he said, I didn't know, but I was born to walk on water. Yes. Hallelujah. He might not have known that day. He might not have known that in the moments when the storm is rocking the boat. But when Jesus began to speak into his life, how many know he had power and access to things he didn't know he had? There was an ability in him to walk above a storm. There was the ability in him to speak peace to a storm. Hallelujah. And how many know it only takes one foot in front of the other to find out, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can walk this out through the strength that God has given me or imparted into me. Hallelujah. There was a moment when Peter got fearful. And everybody says, oh, Peter, oh, ye of little faith. Well, let me tell you what. He's the only one who got out of the boat. So you can say all you want to say about Peter. The rest of them watched from the boat while somebody dared to step out into something. I don't know, I'm just in one of these seasons in my life. I don't want to be the person sitting in the boat. I want somebody to step out and see a demonstration of the life of Christ that heals the sick, that raises the dead, that takes the addict out of despair and the hooker off the street and the person sitting beside of me at the dinner table that needs to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the gospel changes things. It's the good news. Hallelujah. See, we can look in despair and we can look at the world out there and everything that's happening to it. And before you know it, you get caught up in a realm of, oh, woe is me. And all is bad and creation is bad. I dare to look differently. I dare to look at kids and say, your future is bright. And you can laugh without fear of your future. And that God has calling and purpose on your life. Go forth into the world and change our world. Change our nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause the message of Jesus to be preached in every area that we go. See, our mission field, we think our mission field has to be in Nicaragua or Africa or China. And God bless everyone who is there. And I mean that. But your mission field will start when you leave this house today. And it might be the first person you run into is your husband, your wife, your child, the person behind the counter at Walmart or Food Lion, the person who brings you your meal today, that God has put a word of encouragement, a word of life, a word of strength on your lips that you can say, you know what? I don't know what you're going through today, but I've got resurrection power in my lips. I've got the life of Jesus inside of me, and you can have that same life in you. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here alive with resurrection life today? Hallelujah. But see what happens sometimes, we can get so caught up, so wrapped up, and so bound by where we are that we don't have the power to set people free from where they are. Hallelujah. Let's read on real quick. She saith unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come, and he's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. He groaned, he wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laying upon it. Now, that when that scripture talks about groaning and Jesus wept, he didn't just have a little tear trickle down his face. Jesus was in groaning and weeping, not because Lazarus died. See, we think, oh, how he loved him, and that was the understanding of them. But what he's really weeping and crying is, guys, I need you to get this. Mary, Martha, you gotta get this. I am the resurrection. I am life. You're waiting on something to happen later. I am that resurrection, and I am life, and all creation has grown and travailed in time to be delivered. But I'm telling you, the time of your deliverance has come. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Not only did he have resurrection life, but he demonstrated it through the power of the cross and the grave and the empty tomb. When he come back from the dead, he said then, after he resurrected from the dead, he said, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's going to quicken and make alive your mortal body. Yes. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and I am life. Jesus said, take you away the stone, every barrier, everything, every concept of the law, every stone that's been rolled across that has kept you in a tomb and kept you bound, Jesus speaks first to that and says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead. How many? 4 days. The reason he's been dead 4 days is under the Jewish custom of the burial of the law, up to 3 days after somebody was buried, they did not consider you crazy if you went to the tomb to make sure they were dead. Because there had been people they had laid in tombs that weren't as dead as they thought they were, and they were actually still had life in them. And so it was okay up to 3 days, but by 4 days, your body started to break down and it started to decay. So had Jesus got there day one, maybe she was on board. Day two, maybe, but day three. But on 4th day, she's saying, Lord, by this time, he's starting to stink. How many know sometimes there's just some things in our life that stink? Sometimes they just stink. Hallelujah. How many know bondage stinks? Sorrow stinks. Sickness stinks. Loss stinks. Unbelief stinks. Condemnation stinks. Fear stinks. Blindness in the veil of the law stinks. Addictions stink. Hallelujah. Lord, the picture that I'm looking at looks like death. It looks hopeless. It looks like despair. And sometimes, Lord, that just stinks. Hallelujah. Come here, Caleb. I brought toilet paper for stinks. Hallelujah. Come here, Jim. I'm not going to let you clean him up. You're just going to wrap him up. Hallelujah. I want you to just take it and just start wrapping him. Okay? Just like you would see a mummy in a tomb. Just take it. Come on, Jim. This is not your first time with toilet paper. I'm kidding. For the sake of the CD, he's wrapping Caleb up in white linen cloth to look like. What they would do was they would take spices and ointments, and they would anoint the body, and then they would wrap them. The scripture says he was bound hands and feet. They would do that so that when rigor mortis set in, that the body wouldn't be out of control, that it would be confined, and that it would be acceptable. And so another scripture says he was bound head and feet in the tomb. Hallelujah. How many know all of those things that I just mentioned that stink? How many know they can wrap you up? They can tie you up. They can bring death in your life. They can bring a sense of despair that you think the situation looks hopeless. You think God is 4 days late. You think that nothing can, you know, that you're in your, out of your sorrow, that there is nothing beyond what you see right now. Hallelujah. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. Next verse. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. I never questioned you, God. I never questioned that you hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. How many of us know the serpent in the garden caused death to fall on every man? And for that season, we have been bound up and wrapped up in our own despair of death and frustration. Hallelujah. And no life in us. But he that was bound came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now here's the deal. They buried them in a rock, a hewn out rock, and it had tunnels for the fact that they would bury other people in there. And a lot of times what they would do is wait for the body to decay, and a year later they would come back and collect the bones, and the bones would be buried like in a family plot or whatever. But they said it would have been a tunnel down in there. Hallelujah. So that when Jesus said to them, roll away the stone, and he steps up to the mouth of the grave, he specifically says, Lazarus, come forth. He doesn't say to all of the dead, come forth. How many know he calls out a specific name because he's specifically talking to Lazarus, and he says to him, Lazarus, come forth. And at the sound of his voice, resurrection life starts getting rid of all the stink and all the smell and all the situation that looked hopeless. At the sound of the voice of Jesus, when he begins to speak into the life of the one who seemed like they were dead, death is swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. And then he says something very profound. Okay, we're pretty wrapped up there. He says to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus did not come over to Lazarus. He said to the crowd, loose him and let him go. He said to the crowd, loose him and let him go. He said to the crowd, loose him and let him go. Come on, somebody. He said to the crowd, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Tam. Loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. And you know what? Sometimes we're hesitant because we don't know what to do. But here's the deal. You got the power to set him free. You got the power to loose him and let him go. Sometimes we run into people, they just need somebody to start tearing the paper. They just need somebody to start taking the bondage off of them, the chains that they talk about. I mean, sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's depression. Sometimes it's issues in our life. And how many know you have the power in through Jesus Christ? The power is only through God and through the life of Christ. You have resurrection power inside of you, and you have the power to speak life or death. The scripture says the power of life and death is in the... How powerful is that? Hallelujah. And so he says to us today, to the crowd and those who are under the sound of the voice of the one who has resurrection life, loose them and let them go. Hallelujah. I don't know who you're going to run into today. They may not look like Caleb, but trust me, they may be just as bound. It may be somebody you're sitting beside of right here and right now. See, we don't need to think that it's just outside these walls. It may be inside these walls. But I want to tell you something. Church can't be just about what we do in here. It has to be what we do out there. Hallelujah. We can have all word and no works, or we can have all works and no word. But I want a combination of both, that when we begin to speak the words that Jesus said, life takes place. Life swallows up death. Hallelujah. He said, I am resurrection and I am the life. Come on, guys. He's saying to Mary, Martha, all the disciples, I need you to believe with me. I need you to get this. Because if I don't, when you see me on the cross, you're going to be in despair. You're going to be in hardship. You're not going to understand. How many know? He said, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. And there were very few of them left at the foot of the cross. But John was. John is the one who wrote the I Am's and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. You need to get this. So how many know Jesus comes back to them even after the resurrection? And they're all assembled in fear of the Jews. Jesus don't need to knock on the door. He just appears in the midst of the multitude, and he breaks the bread, and he blesses the bread, and he starts to give out the bread to the disciples, and all of a sudden the scripture said their eyes were opened, and they knew him, hallelujah, by the breaking of the bread. And on the road to Emmaus, when he started to say to them all things concerning himself, starting at Moses and the prophets, he said, man, didn't our hearts burn within us? Best case of heartburn you can get is the one when Jesus speaks, your heart burns because you've known, you've heard his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. So I say to the voice of any other shepherd, hallelujah, how many know we hear the voice of our shepherd? And so I say to any other voice, the voice of fear, the voice of despair, the voice of discouragement, I have no ear for that because my ear is tuned to my shepherd, and when my shepherd speaks, hallelujah, I will follow him because he will lead me into green pastures. He will restore my soul. And even they, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah. Since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. It will make alive. Hallelujah. How many of you believe this morning you have life inside of you? How many believe you have something to share with somebody that can give them life today, tomorrow, this week? Hallelujah. It may be yourself that you may need to speak life to. Hallelujah. You might have come in wrapped up. You didn't physically come in wrapped up, but you may come in spiritually, emotionally wrapped up, financially wrapped up. Hallelujah. And I speak to them. Jesus said to them, loose them and let them go. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the power of life that we have in Jesus today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that sometimes even in the face of things that just look like they stink, there's always resurrection life. There's always the power of God. We may not understand things. We may not always see or there's times I just say, Lord, I don't understand. And guess what? He doesn't get upset with me when I say that. He just gives me comfort and helps me to walk in the steps that I need to walk right now. I don't always know what's out there, but all I really need to know is right here and right now, and that he's an ever-present God, no matter what we face in our life. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. You've been gracious to give me the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As Beth sings something, if you need special prayer this morning, we'd be glad to pray for you. But I want you to just lift your hands as she sings and says, Lord, every part of my body, every part of my being, every part of my life that seems like it's inhibited by death and tombs and things when things just stink. Father, I just declare to grave clothes that they are loose today. Hallelujah. In our families, Lord, in situations. Lord, I declare resurrection life in this house. Hallelujah. A stirring of that spirit. Lord, never allow us to forget the power of God that's inside of us. Hallelujah. The power to speak life and not death. Hallelujah. We give you praise today, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
There is power.